Turn with me to the Gospel according to John, chapter 20. We'll read verses 19 through 23. John 20, 19 through 23. Listen. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when it so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And may the Lord bless to our hearts and lives this reading and hearing of his holy and inspired word. Let us now look to God for a few moments of silent prayer. Gracious God, bless now the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts. Breathe your Spirit into us and grant that we may hear your word and in hearing be led in the way you want us to go. Amen. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It is the day that we observe, that we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples in that upper room in Jerusalem. It is a day that we mark, that we observe, that we celebrate as the birthday of the church. This is the day when God sent His Holy Spirit to empower the people of God to do the work of God in the world. And that means that none of us, not any one of us, ever have to attempt to live the faith or to walk the walk or to do the work of God without the power of the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is available to everyone who believes and trusts in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He is the one who makes it possible for ordinary people, me and you, to live new lives in Jesus Christ. A careful study of the Gospels reveals that our Lord never intended His disciples to live the Christian life in their own strength. It means that God's help is available for every single person who makes a commitment to follow Jesus. And when we experience that commitment, when we have that commitment to Jesus Christ, we will then experience the power and the freedom and the joy that Christ promised to His disciples in that upper room in Jerusalem. Now, our scripture lesson gives to us John's account of Jesus visiting His disciples following the resurrection. And you will recall that John says of Jesus, He breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. Some commentators call this the little Pentecost before the big Pentecost. In Hebrew and in Greek, the word for spirit is always associated with wind or breath. And it is no accident that the account of Pentecost that we read in Acts chapter 2 includes the fact that the gift of God, of the Holy Spirit, the wind of God, the breath of God, was given with the rush of a mighty wind. This morning, I'd like for us to think about some of the things that wind or breath does in our lives. In the first place, breath is a sign of life. We breathe 18 times a minute, 1,080 times an hour. Now, don't start counting, but that's what the estimate is. We breathe 25,000 times a day. At age 40, and that applies to several of us, at age 40, you will have had 365 million breaths. Each a gift of God, a gift of life. You know, a few moments without breath and you're unconscious. And a few moments more and you're dead. What natural breath is to the human body for our existence, so is the breath of God, the wind of God, the Holy Spirit, is to the spirit of a person. And I have come to believe that the Holy Spirit, who breathes new life into us when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, when we do that, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, but so often we don't take advantage of that gift, the breath, the wind of God. I want to suggest that the Spirit of God brings new life to us in two ways. First, it is the Spirit that convicts us of our own sinfulness. You take a new piece of furniture and put it into a room, and it may make you feel how shabby the rest of the furniture has become. Have you ever done that? And I believe that something like that happens when a person allows their heart to be touched by the Spirit of God. They realize how shabby their lives have become and how unclean it is and how sinful we are. You begin to listen to your own conscience. You begin to measure your life not against what is acceptable by the crowd you run around with, but you begin to compare your life against the life of Jesus Christ. And we see then how far short we come. It is the working of God's Spirit that convicts us of our sinfulness. And not only does the Spirit of God convict us of our sin, but also convinces us to accept God's offer of forgiveness and love. A story from World War II illustrates how powerfully the Spirit of God can change the hearts of people. The story is that German soldiers entered a village on the edge of the Argonne Forest, and snipers from the village fired and killed six of the German soldiers. The other soldiers in turn tried to find the snipers but couldn't find them. So the lieutenant in charge ordered the arrest of six civilians picked at random, and they were going to die at dusk the next morning by a firing squad. One of those six was a young man who was married and had four young children. And he asked, the priest went by to see the six men before they were to die the next morning by the firing squad. And this young man with his wife, who had a wife and four children, begged and pleaded with the priest that he might intervene to the lieutenant and have mercy upon them, especially for him and with his wife and young children to provide for. So the priest went to the lieutenant and quietly said, Sir, this one prisoner is young. He has a family, four little children. I am old and I have no one. It can make no difference to you which one of us is going to die. So just let me die in his place. And the officer looked at the priest and said, man, you're a fool. If you want to die, you go ahead and take his place. Later on, that lieutenant by field telephone sent a message to the general telling about the whole incident and what he had done. And the report came to attention to the commanding general, and he was deeply moved by this willing self-sacrifice of the priest. And all that night, the general wrestled in his heart and in his mind, in his hurt, in his conscience, Jesus telling him, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So early in the morning, the general sent word to the lieutenant to let all of those prisoners go free. You see, it was the power of God's life-changing spirit that changed the general's heart. It was this power to change human lives that the old hymn writer celebrated when he wrote, breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. We're going to sing that later. In the second place, wind or breath not only gives us life, but wind or breath is a sign of power. For generations, people have harnessed the power of the wind to sail ships and to turn windmills. Ask any athlete about breath supply. They will tell you how important it is to get that second wind when you are in the middle of a race. Many of you perhaps know that our son Bill has run several marathons. In fact, he ran one yesterday in Stockholm, Sweden. And any runner will tell you how important it is to get that second wind to enable them to complete and continue into the race. How important it is for us to get the wind of God, the breath of God into our own lives. That's what happened to those early disciples. The Bible is a record of how ordinary people became spiritual giants when the Spirit of God, the wind of God, the breath of God entered into their lives. And this was power that they had in their hearts. It is power that gives us courage to witness for Jesus and the strength to minister to others in need. I like to think of God's power as being like electricity. You cannot see electricity any more than you can see the wind. But when you put a plug into the socket, you can certainly see what electricity can do. It can run a fan. It can turn on the light. It has power. And we as Christians are like light cords. When we let the Spirit of God reign supreme in our hearts, it's like being plugged into the power of God. And then others will see the light and the life of Jesus reflected and shining through us. It happens because we have come in touch, we have come in contact with the power of God's love and grace and Spirit. Look at what happened to those disciples. They were in an upper room. They were afraid. Jesus had promised to them that He was going to send the Comforter. He was going to send the Spirit. And there they were waiting. And 50 days after Easter, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. and filled them with power, and they went out from that upper room no longer afraid, and they began to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Their world was changed because of their faith, and perhaps God wants to transform the broken world in which we live by letting His Spirit empower us in the same way. And finally, wind is often a signpost for guidance or direction. The windsock blowing at an airport tells the pilot in which direction to land his plane. And a weatherman can tell you what the day may be like tomorrow because of the direction of the wind. And Jesus compared the Holy Spirit to a counselor, a helper, a friend, and a guide through all of life. He promised that His Spirit would continue to stand beside us like a doctor beside her patient, like a lawyer beside his client, like a friend beside a person in need. And now this is no fair weather promise of help. It's not like the woman who was flying some years ago and suddenly she noticed that the airplane's engines, two of them, were on fire. And panic spread among the passengers. And the pilot then appeared at the door of the passenger cabin and he had a large parachute strapped to his back. And in a cheery voice, he said, "Don't worry about a thing, folks. I'm going to go get some help." God's promise to guide and direct our lives is more than just lip service. As we go through life, you and I will come to those moments when the darkness of sorrow seemingly shuts out the light. And during those times, it is God's Holy Spirit, the wind of God, will be with us to encourage us. And He will go with us through the valley of the shadow. The students at Glasgow University in Scotland had a custom of jeering men and women who received honorary degrees at graduation. When David Livingstone returned to Scotland from Africa after having served there for 18 years as a missionary, he was invited by the University of Glasgow to receive an honorary Doctor of Law degree. So the students knew about that, and they were all ready to jeer him when he appeared on the platform. But when he appeared and they saw him, this wrinkled up man with his arm dangling by his side, useless because he had been mauled by a lion while he was in Africa, they didn't have the heart to jeer this great missionary. And they anticipated to hear what he was going to tell them in his speech. He didn't tell them about what he had done as a missionary in Africa. Instead, he said this: "Shall I tell you what sustained me amidst the toil, the hardships, and the loneliness? It was the most precious of all the promises in the Bible. It was the words of Jesus who said, 'And lo, I am with you always, even unto the close of the age.'" How is Jesus with us? It is with the wind of God, the Holy Spirit of God, who is always with us, to comfort, to guide, to strengthen, to encourage us as we make our pilgrimage through life. A minister and a friend were visiting at Niagara Falls. A friend remarked how sad it was to see much power going to waste as the millions and millions of gallons of water rushed across those falls. The man said, "This is the greatest waste of power in all the world." And the minister said, No, my friend, that's not the greatest. The greatest unused and wasted power in all the world is when people do not receive and use the power of God's Holy Spirit. How is it with us? We believe in Jesus. We trust in Him as Lord and Savior. But are we taking advantage of the power of the Holy Spirit, the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, the wind of God that has so much power? We have witnessed how wind on this earth has had great power. Well, the wind of God, the Spirit of God, is even greater as He dwells within our hearts to help us. Perhaps you wish you had this Spirit of God. And the promise of Pentecost is that you and I can receive that same Spirit. Can happen when we let Jesus Christ reign supreme in the hearts of our lives, and when we ask God to fill us with His life-giving Spirit. Let us pray. Holy Spirit of God, blow like the wind through our lives and fill us with life anew. O Holy Spirit, wind of God, fill us with Your power. Give us direction and guidance in our lives. Be our comforter and be our helper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.